Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. My name's Vicky Hanlon.
And I'm Emily Tresidder. Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Please don't.
Okay.
Great.
That's perfect. That's my new podcast.
It's Vic and Ian's. You're a big man's.
Close.
Ian, Pian, Clean.
Yeah, we'll workshop it.
Ian and Vic's comedy
dicks.
Yeah. Ian and Vic's comedy snitches get. Damn it.
You fucked it.
Yeah. Look, I guess the moral of the story is you're not going to steal my job. So
I mean, I don't think he came in here thinking he was.
I mean, it kind of, like the attitude that he brought, it kind of did.
But the more defensive you get about me taking your job, the more I feel like I probably could take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's fair.
The only thing that's missing is a punchy title. I can go home and workshop like an hour and come back.
Yeah, it's so true. It'd be pretty easy.
Probably. My name rhymes with a lot of shit stuff, so...
Yeah. Vic, Nick, Sick, Patik.
Told you. A lot of shit
Patik.
Stuff.
Patik. That's not a word. I literally just made noises.
Did you ever... it's not really a game, but like in high school, you would go through the alphabet and try and figure out what your name is with it, like the start of every other letter?
Never, ever.
Really?
Never.
Mine's really bad. It doesn't matter which name. Vic, Vicky, Victoria, it's all shit.
What do you mean?
Like, doesn't think about it and just go through the alphabet later. Not in your own time, please. Not now.
This is actually just an hour of me being like, ack, big.
Yeah, well, yeah, it'd be like ache,
right, big.
Yeah, the right, podcast is more enjoyable if you do the homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the podcast, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tresidder.
It's me, Emily Tresidder.
It is you.
And this week we are joined by not a Matt, but the rat. We are joined by comedian Ian McCarthy.
Yay.
It's me, baby.
Thanks for being here.
Is that your catchphrase now? It's me, baby.
It's always been my catchphrase,
okay,
dude.
Great.
That is so incorrect because the second sentence after it was like, it's always been my catchphrase, dude.
Yeah.
Like, no one that says dude is going around their lives being like, baby.
Or maybe they really are.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm calling you out 3 seconds into the podcast.
Ian McCarthy cancelled.
Yeah, right.
No, you're not cancelled. Oh, let's not go too far. Ian McCarthy, the reason I called you a rat wasn't because of my personal opinion. It's because you're doing a show with two Matts. And you're the rat.
Does that mean you don't think I'm a rat? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, no, I don't think you're a rat.
Oh, that's wow. Nice. Wow.
Yeah, of course. You're not a rat.
This,
you're a,
this is
you're
taking
a real
a pleasant
boy.
Turn.
You're a real boy.
You're a real boy, not a rodent.
We'll get to the show later, though. You don't need to discuss the rat right now.
Just wanted to defend yourself and people thinking that you're
100%. I don't want anyone listening to the podcast to be like, wow, 30 seconds in, she was already being like a mad asshole.
Our guest this week, I don't know why we have him on. I fucking hate this dude, but...
He's such an asshole.
Last minute, someone pulled out and he messaged him, which I do assume is what's happened.
No.
It's fine. Everything's fine. What's been happening, guys? Vicky, okay. Do you have a story to tell us?
Well, I don't have a story as such as I just want to gloat for a little bit.
Okay. That's really not what this segment is about.
I don't care. It's my segment now. I'm taking over.
Nah, fair.
So a few weeks back on the podcast, I talked about how I'm not allowed at the cricket.
Yes.
And then we revisited that.
Yes.
And I said, so Ian, for background.
Yeah, I should listen to the podcast more.
I... technically have a self-imposed ban, but I've decided that the universe has banned me from the cricket because every time I go and see the Renegades play, they lose, right?
So literally she's like a bad omen.
Every single time I've seen them play.
Yeah. Oh, this is like the story about the like Richmond supporter last year. That like every time he goes to a game, they lose.
Yeah.
So he never goes, he always watches the game. It was actually a really heartbreaking story because he loves Richmond so much and he can't go to any games.
Yeah. Well, I love them though. Yeah. I love.
They did last year.
Yeah.
But he didn't go to the games. So.
Yeah.
So now he can't go to the games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that may answer my question.
Okay.
Because I didn't go into any Renegades games. And I just want to say, I don't love the Renegades as much as that guy loves Richmond. Because if they told me I couldn't go to St Kilda games, I don't care. I'm going. Like, it's happening.
Yeah, right.
Interesting that you say that with St Kilda's record.
I know. I know.
Imagine if you didn't go.
I went to both of those grand finals that they lost.
Wow. Well,
one that they lost and one that they drew.
Now we have the reason.
I know. I sat at the back of those MCG stands and it was all my fault. Had everything to do with it.
Maybe anyway. The further away you are from the field, the less intrusive your power is.
Oh, well, I was in the back row. Okay, well, okay.
So maybe they're just shit,
in
actually.
In 2009, they went at the grand final. Shut up. In 2009, I was in the second back row of the MCG and they lost. Mm-hmm. In 2010, I was in the back row of the MCG and they drew. So
maybe
next
time.
Yes, that is 100%.
But then the week after, I didn't go and they got smashed.
Ooh, interesting. So there's some sort of form. Maybe if you hang out just outside the stadium.
Just outside the stadium.
That could have been the winning
they
ticket.
They might have won. Okay, interesting.
You've got to be within like a 2 kilometer radius.
but not too close. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, that's something to think about.
We've cracked the code.
Okay. Well, so now I'll just go and watch it like on a screen outside the MCG, if that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You could probably watch it from Fed Square.
Oh, yeah.
That's close enough.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. All right.
Just sit at the station on your phone.
Maybe.
Yeah. We solved the problem. Podcast over. Thanks for tuning in,
thanks,
everyone.
Thanks, guys. anyway, so I haven't gone to a Renegades game since the one that I went to this year and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am not allowed to watch the games either. I'm not allowed to pay any attention to them while they're happening. So this was the difference between me and the Richmond guy. Because he was allowed to watch them at home, right?
Yeah.
Like he was allowed to.
Yeah, I think he'd go to the pub.
How do we know about this dude?
It was definitely a human interest story.
Yeah, an article on like the Age or something about him.
Well, you could have been an Age, Vicky.
Okay, well, I'll put her out of media release next time.
I think, yeah, 100%. Like, as if that's the only guy that is doing that with Richmond.
Yeah, he's just the one that he probably has a friend that works for the Age.
I'm going to track this guy down and be like, how the fuck?
Well, considering that he was in the paper, I don't think it's that hard to track him down. He could probably figure it out.
Who in Melbourne doesn't have a mate who works for the Age, though, in fairness?
I mean, less now than there used to be.
Is that because you have fewer mates now or because...
No, because they fired a bunch of people that work for the Age.
That's fair.
Yeah.
No, it's because she has less mates.
so much. Yeah, they're all gone. Anyway.
I don't know anyone that works at the Age or ever has worked at the Age.
I know one person ever. Wow. No, two. Okay.
Anyway. What about you, Ian? How many people?
Well, I'm studying journalism at the moment, so like a lot of my teachers.
So what you've done is you've just said, oh, everyone in Melbourne knows someone that works at the Age.
No, but I've also met people. Of course, everyone around you
knows someone that works at the fucking Age.
Yeah, dude.
Shit.
Every single one of my teachers, you know, everyone knows them.
That's such an insular.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm feeling a lot of animosity from this side of the table.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you sit on my side of the table, I have to like give the energy.
You have to still be alpha.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So if I switch sides, does that change the whole dynamic of the podcast?
It's never happened.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do is at some point halfway to the podcast, I'm going to change sides and we won't tell them when it happens and we'll see if the audience, if the listeners can pick.
100%.
When that happens. Yeah. I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Anyway, my Renegades. I didn't watch any of that. They were in the finals. I think the last time I did an update for this, they'd made it to the grand final.
Yes.
I think that was the last update we did for this.
And we were like, you're not going to watch it. You're not going
to watch it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Yeah. I was actually in the country. Like, mm-hmm. like I was in out of town when it happened, so I wasn't even in the same city.
That's good.
And I think this is setting them up. And I was busy at the same time that it was happening, so I couldn't actually have anything to... I couldn't even be like...
Checking the scores.
Yeah, I couldn't check the scores. I couldn't have anything to do with it. Anyway, they won.
Wow.
The grand final, which okay. they've never done before.
Wow.
So, my question is, can I ever watch cricket again?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
But not... Never the Renegades.
Yeah, I think you can watch cricket as long as you're not invested in the particular match outcome. That you're watching.
Yeah.
So no more watching Australia either.
Is that a thing?
I mean, if you like Australia.
I mean, I do. I mean, I like the cricket team anyway sometimes. I like, what about the women's? Can I watch the
I
women's?
Think it depends. I think you'll have to test the
theory
on all of
them. The women are so good. I don't
think
they need me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it works differently for St. Kilda than it does
exactly.
for the Renegades, right?
So
that
I just
means
have
it
to
depends on the team.
Yeah, you have to. I think you'd have
There's
to do
one,
like a... Sorry,
oh,
you
yeah.
go.
Okay.
So has he switched sides of the table? Oh, my God, maybe.
So that means there's one perfect team out there in the world that, like, if you find that team, it's like finding true love. Like,
right.
if you find that team.
I'll never find that team.
I also Ooh, think there's bleak. More than... right. Isn't there a theory that there's more than one soulmate per person?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
So there's more than one true love.
More than one
team
per person.
Well, okay, well that's nice. Ideally, there's at least, like, one per sport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ideally.
Right. Ideally.
Yeah.
But I think you'd also have to just test the theory on every team. Definitely never can watch a Renegades game ever again. See you later. Bye.
Liverpool is doing really well this year.
Have you been watching them?
No.
There you go. They're out. You can't watch them. You're going to have to choose some shitty teams, I think.
But I don't want to like shitty teams. I already liked St Kilda. They're not doing well. They've never done well.
Whoa, whoa. I tried to say that and you were like...
I can say it. It's my word.
Yeah, look, I think we just have to play it by ear. Each circumstance will be different.
Okay. If anyone who's listening has any tips and hints for that.
Or any teams that they think Vicky could...
Should go for.
Go for and not fuck up.
Or fuck up, depending on
yeah,
what
if
you
want
to happen.
To lose. I guess if, this is so mean. If there's any sporting teams that you want to lose, ask Vicky to watch their game.
We can go with, like, I'll start following Manchester United just so they start losing heaps. That would be good, right?
So I'm gonna
I don't
get
know
a if lot
you have
of
to
follow them.
I'm gonna get, I'll just have to watch them.
Yeah, yeah you don't have to follow them.
God, that takes so much time and effort out of my life.
Wow, you really hate them.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Are they like the like?
No, that's Everton. If you're gonna, that's Liverpool's like rival team.
Yeah, right.
But that's like this because they're from the same city, so it's like crosstown rivals, Everton. But Man U, I just hate because they're like the Collingwood of the Premier League. You don't understand that reference.
No, not really.
The one that everyone hates. Either you go for them or you hate them. There's
right.
no in between.
Mm. There's no gray area.
No.
Right.
They are black and white.
Wow.
Hey.
Did you get it? Because the team is black and white.
Yeah. They're calling.
I really appreciate that Ian was just as like, what? Like we were both sitting here just like looking at you with no...
And me going, that
no,
was
I,
so good.
I understood. I just didn't laugh.
Fuck you.
I just didn't think it was funny. Speaking of
Brutal.
Didn't think it was funny.
Tell us a story, Ian.
That was a tag That's team nice. One.
Yeah. The listeners are like, I don't know what side he's sitting on.
You got to keep them on their toes.
Yeah. I'm just circling the table now.
Or like
just
in the standing
middle.
At the end
yeah,
of the head
exactly.
of the table.
Yeah. So I was thinking about stories I could tell last night.
Sure.
I was talking to my mate and he reckons I should tell the story about the time that I was 16 and I called the police on my own house party.
Amazing.
Gnarly.
I'm
Love
into
that.
It.
Yeah.
Such
was
a
your
cool
mate
dude.
At the party?
No,
or he
but
just
he's heard
knows
the story.
That,
yeah,
right. He's like, I've heard all your stories, Ian.
This is
the of all of them. This is the podcast story.
Yeah. No, right. I can shout out. It was Sean Morgan. I was hanging out with Sean Morgan. I was like, I got to bring a story to this podcast. I don't know what to talk about.
Yep. Melbourne ex-comedian.
Yeah.
Expat.
Also that.
Yeah, he's both.
He's both.
Yeah.
He's an expat and an ex-comedian.
Is he going to do comedy again?
I don't know.
Let's get him on the bloody pod.
Come on, Sean, do comedy.
Call him
again.
In.
Anyway, tell us your... Yeah, snitching story.
All right, so I was 16, it was the summer of love.
Okay.
Don't you dare tell anyone what year you were 16, because it'll just make me feel so old.
You want to know, sorry, was that tell us what year you were 16?
No, but I don't want to know.
What year were you 16?
Oh, like 1973.
Brilliant, thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries, okay. I think also anyone listening who hears my voice and can't visually see me will be like, yeah, he sounds 50.
Yeah, that's yeah, point.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, so my mum went away for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 16, your mum goes away in the middle of summer. You're going to throw a party.
Yes, absolutely.
Where was she? Can you disclose?
She was like real big into riding horses at the time. So she went to some like horse
riding
thing.
Mum's a horse girl.
Love that.
All right.
She's like on and off. Actually, now she's obsessed with greyhounds. She's like,
right. She rescued them.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, she's rescued two, but she's also pro greyhound racing. It's very confusing.
That is confusing.
That is very.
But
confusing.
I guess if you do race them, you should be helping save them as well.
Yeah, but the weird thing is she doesn't race them, but she is pro racing.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
So confused right now.
But at the time, she was at a horse camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to like.
So my 55-year-old mother was at a horse camp.
Yeah, great. I mean, it was 1973.
She was a counselor.
Oh, okay. anyway.
Yeah, so I threw a party and I invited like probably a lot more people than I should.
Wait, is your name Corey? What's that guy's name?
But nope, I can't remember. Worthington.
Corey Worthington.
Worthington. I was going to say Corey White, and then I was like, no, that's not the Corey I was thinking of.
Close.
Previous guest is not the guy that had a helicopter at his party.
No, my name's Ian McCarthy.
Sorry.
Do you research the guests?
Not Corey Worthington.
No.
But you invited him.
But this
too
is
many.
Like, is this like a similar era to that? Or that had already happened, hadn't it?
This was 1973, so it was probably about 20 or 30 years before Corey Worthington.
Sure. Sorry, I forgot.
Where am I in the story?
You'd invited a lot too many people.
A lot too
many. Yeah. Right. So like, maybe about 30, 40 people are there, maybe at like 8 p.m. Also, I was in a real shitty punk band at the time, so we played
at
the house party.
Stop.
Yeah, dude.
I love that.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Right. It's the way of forcing my friends to listen to.
That's
this
amazing.
I feel like that happens at every around 16, 17 house party. The boys that are in a band, they will set up and you have to listen to them no matter what. Because that definitely happened at parties that I went to.
The new version of that is like having your mates DJ.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I got invited to my cousin's house party a couple of weeks ago. He's a few years younger than me.
Sure.
And in the Facebook event, it had DJ set times.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever, like, recently, and I say recently, like, within the last few years that that's happened is, like, a New Year's Eve party that was, like, a huge New Year's Eve party and they'd picked a few different people to DJ during New Year's. That's the only time I've ever. But the people that they'd picked, one of them like DJs professionally,
right,
and one of them does it like a lot, but not professionally and stuff. So they at least were actual DJs.
Or close
it wasn't
to
just
it.
Your mate
with an iPod.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, well.
So you were the only band at your party? Or did you have
a sweet lineup?
I don't remember. I think we might have gotten another band that we were mates with to play as well, but I can't really. Honestly can't remember.
What instrument did you play?
I played drums at the time.
Nice. Drums.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, the cops came around to the party twice. The first time was like just after we
set?
Finished playing, just after.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I think is funny because it was only like 8 o'clock, so I reckon it wasn't a noise complaint. I reckon they were just like, "Hey, this real shitty band is playing next door.
Please
can you shut
make
us
it
down?
Stop."
The noise is fine, but God, they suck.
The levels are fine. Yeah.
You can't really make noise complaints until after, is it 10 or 11 or whatever? I guess it depends on the day.
I don't know. It might be different in Canberra.
Oh, that's
it is
right.
Here
it's
as well.
Probably
I'm
7:30.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's probably like 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I forgot we were in Canberra. Yep.
Okay, so they come around 8.
Yeah.
You've just put down the drumsticks.
And do they tell you to, that's going
like,
wild?
I was like, sorry, dude, I'm done shredding now. Like, it's cool.
And you guys was can it, go. Were they like, hey, you need to quieten down? Was that what they were saying at 8 o'clock?
Yeah. They were just like, oh, there's been like a noise complaint or whatever. So just like keep it down. Wild though that the cops, like, I guess they can't really do anything anyway. But like clearly the door would have been open. They would have been like, oh, there's a bunch of drunk 16-year-olds and no adult. Like, and they didn't say that's anything a good about point. That, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I guess it's private property and they couldn't, they didn't know that there wasn't an adult.
Or had that's your fair. Voice already broken? Because you do sound
50
much older than you are.
Yeah, I would have looked and sounded older than I was, but I don't know old enough for them to be like, yep, this is okay.
Yeah,
right. That's the dad of the house.
No, that's fair. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it's 1973. Maybe it's just they didn't care.
Yeah, it was a different time.
Exactly.
Do they even have police? No.
All right. So they left. Right.
Yeah, all right, so...
But they've already clocked that there's a house party going on.
Yeah. So there's a weird period of time. It's about 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes to an hour from just after the band stopped playing, where like a mass text message was sent around to people by someone, I don't know who.
Oh my gosh,
And then within like 30 minutes of that, all of a sudden the party goes from like 30 people to like 80 people.
No.
I don't know most of the people in my house.
No.
And then these like three dudes walk in. They're like 22, 23 years old.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Walk into a party full of 16-year-olds. No. One of them has a scratch above his eye like he's just been in a fire.
Oh, no, we can't. This is insane. Great.
And then one of my other mates, because most of my friends were, a lot of my friends were older, like a couple years older than me, so they would have been like 18.
Okay, so maybe that's why the cops are fine, because most people are legal age drinking.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say most, but like a solid percentage, I guess. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Vicky is bad at maths. You're like, so more than half? He's like, no, definitely less than half. You're like, so a huge percentage? Like, no, a small percentage.
Basically all of them. Very bad at maths.
One of my like 18-year-old mates walks up to me and is like, hey dude, I went to college with these guys. You don't want them. They should not be here.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, can you talk to them?
Oh my gosh.
You make them go away.
Stressed little Ian.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is insane.
And then he like chatted them and they were like, oh yeah. Like we're going to go. And then like cut to like an hour later, they're still there. And now there's also like 100 people at my party.
No.
And I'm getting anxious. Yeah. Insane. I'm like, this is so stressful.
Are people touching your stuff? Like, what's going on?
Our people are all over the place. Like, people are in my bedroom.
No.
People are hanging out in the bathtub. Like, it's
Do you have like a decent backyard or anything like that? Like,
yeah, we had a huge backyard.
Yeah, and there's heaps of people just in there as well.
Like, I don't. It's like such everywhere. A blur. There were just people everywhere. It was very stressful.
Oh god.
And then, to be fair, I didn't actually call the cops myself on the party, but the cops turned up again, probably at about 10:30. To like tell us to keep it down again.
Yep.
And then I was just like, can you actually, while you're here,
just get rid of everyone. Shut it down.
Out of my house. So they just like walked through the house and like kicked everyone out.
Great.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, did they walk up to groups of people and be like, this party's over, get out?
Yeah, basically, they just walk through. Well, yeah, it's the police, so you kind of have to.
And you're 16.
And if your sister's a whole, 16-year-olds are probably not going to be like, yeah, fuck off, pig. They're going to go like, okay, all right, that's fine. Yeah, we'll go. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And were there 20-something still there at this point?
No, they would have left like along with everyone else at this point.
But they were still there when the cops turned up. And you were
and
like,
then I let like 15 people stay, but everyone else left. So yeah, the cops just like walked through all the rooms and were just like, everyone has to leave.
Yeah.
But the embarrassing part was that this was the summer between me finishing year 10 and starting year 11, which in Canberra means you change schools.
Right. Oh.
And so I started year 11 at the school, and apparently everyone had been like, when I started this new school, there were a lot of people that had been at the party. And recognized me, and I'd obviously been to enough house parties as well to know the rule, like the laws around like cops and stuff. So they were like, yeah, the cops can't
just kick you out.
Yeah, the cops can't just come into your house without you inviting them. So they all like knew that I'd...
Oh my gosh. That is so painful. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, what a start to year 11 as
you
well.
You should have like come up with a like mad story. Like, yeah, my older brother was there. He let them in. Like, oh, what a fucking dickhead. Like, yeah. He shut down the party.
I would have been good. I wasn't thinking on my feet.
Well, there you go.
Do you know what's...
It's like, you know what? Yeah, it was
They had a warrant. Like, apparently my mum had like drugs and stuff like
She's
that.
A horse. Yeah. She was like a horse cab.
Yeah, she had heaps of ketamine. Like, all right.
We could have really got you out of a pickle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Too bad you guys were there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, everybody else was...
It was 1973. I was not born yet. So.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Finally a story. Nah.
Do you know what's wild, though? Is the next year my mum went away again, and so I threw another party, but I was like way more careful about it. Sorry?
Did she find out about the party?
I don't think I've ever told her about it.
Right. Does she know now?
Pretty crazy. If she listens to this podcast, she'll know.
So you've never actually told her the
story? I don't think I've ever told her the story.
Okay.
Wow.
What's
your mum's name?
Don't worry about it.
this isn't going to be another Natalie Tressida situation.
We'll just link, like literally specifically link it to your mum.
Yeah,
this one episode.
I just want to send it to her.
You can probably find her. She tags me a lot of shit on Facebook.
I think in retrospect, she wouldn't care so much though.
Yeah. Probably not anymore, well, but I think there's definitely like a statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is probably about 40 years. Yeah. Right. I think it's time.
Yeah, you're home and host. You're fine.
Sorry, what is wild is what you were going to say.
Dude, fucking wild.
So fucking wild.
So the next year, the same thing happened. My mum went away for like a week and I threw another party.
Was she also at a horse camp?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same horse camp.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Same time, same place.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly 1 year later.
Great.
So I was going to throw another party, but I was like way more careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Confiscated
everyone's phones.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no. I only invited like 20 people. I was like, you guys know what happened last year. Don't fucking tell anybody that this is happening. And then like 2 days before the party, I get a text message from a mate who's like at the pub. And he's like, yeah, I just met this totally random dude who was like, hey, are you going to Ian's party on Saturday?
Oh, no.
And so I was like, well, cancelled. Shut it down.
Wow.
And then so instead I literally just had like four friends around. And then these dudes from my year at my college did the funniest thing. They thought that the party was still on and they wanted to gate crash it. But they knew that we weren't really like mates or anything. So what they did was they all rocked up like a block down from my house and were just like hanging out in the bushes, maybe like eight of them.
What?
And then they would come like into the party like two at a time. Right. And then like another two would come in and be like, oh my God, you guys are here.
Oh my God.
And they just kept doing that for like an hour.
But
there's no party.
So you let them in?
Like...
So I was not in there. I had like gone to like buy booze and then they were doing this while I was
at your house.
Out of the house. Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. And then by the time I got back, someone had kicked them out. So it was all good. All gravy.
What a bizarre.
But there really is nothing to do in Canberra, is there?
Canberra's a small place, dude.
Wouldn't the first two that come in
be like, oh, there's
only
no
four
party?
People be like, oh, it's not a party.
Yeah, you know, abort mission.
Yeah. Like, if there's eight of them, they're literally doubling the party, like quadrupling the party.
Yeah.
No, tripling the party. I'm very bad at maths.
That's all right. I was just going to be like, it's one of those. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
Yeah. And then
there
it's
was
like,
four, now there's 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, A, obviously everyone there knows that you shouldn't, that you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And B, what a shit party. Why do you
want
to stay and
why
hang
do you
out?
Want to be there?
Why do you want to stay and hang out with four people who don't want you there?
Yeah, that's
Have you
bizarre.
Ever, like, solved the mystery of who told that random guy at the pub?
No idea.
So you...
But it's one of your 20 mates.
Yeah. Are you still friends with all 20 of those people?
So I think someone would have told someone else, just that, like, someone would have probably said to someone, like, hey,
I'm going
to this party at Ian's, but it's, like, a low-key thing, like, don't tell anyone.
Sure.
And then they
don't tell anyone
did.
Means tell everyone.
Yeah.
Well, no, they tell one person and they tell one person. And then the whole of Canberra knows.
Yeah.
In Canberra, there's only ever like max like 3 degrees of separation between like you and anyone else.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. God, that sounds like a nightmare. I mean, it sounds like Frankston, to be honest, like where I grew up.
So you could have said one of those cops was your uncle or something.
Yeah.
I didn't let them there in. There are so That was my many... uncle.
He's not here as a cop. He's here as my uncle, but he just happens to be a cop.
Yeah. He's just in his uniform.
Yeah. Get the fuck out.
You thought it was a costume party. He was in character. He goes to NIDA.
That's a hectic story.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to deal with that at 16. Like, I mean, well, I had parties and stuff, but they never, like, it was before phones existed, I guess.
Right.
You know, because I'm really old. But it was definitely, like, my friends wouldn't have told anyone, like, and people would have been like, nah, whatever.
Mm. I always lived in apartments. So anytime
like, I had huge house and huge, like, it was a great party house, like, once I turned 18 and everything like that, and we had people over all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, the massive backyard, pool, everything. But, like, yeah, did not utilize it when I was 16.
Yeah. So. Well, the weird thing is when I was, like, 16, having, like, 80 people in my house was such a nightmare. Now it sounds like a great time. I love to have house parties. Like, what good fun.
Yeah. Would you
Highly stressful.
Years later, if you were having a party and it got a bit out of hand and the cops came, would you be like, come on in?
Well, I think I'm smart enough to have a house party that doesn't get out of control.
I've been to
anymore.
A party at your house that the cops came to.
Yeah.
So, like, that's happening. Like, that's happened.
Yeah, I didn't...
Like, it's not...
I didn't invite them in.
You weren't like, have a bloody...
Because when we have parties, we always have people hanging out, like, in the back alley, which has, like... Which is, like, surrounded by other houses, so neighbors just get pissed off and call the cops.
Yeah.
Whenever we have a party, like, our game plan is we'll hang out in the alley until the cops kick us out, and then we'll move into the house.
Right.
Like, that's just how we have parties.
That's a good game plan.
Yeah.
A nightmare.
I'm sure at some point in the evening you want to, like, sort of mosey on inside anyway.
I guess so.
You know?
Yeah, when the cops come, I usually just leave. That's what my time... I'm like, oh, yeah, it's that time.
Is that because you're on the run?
Yeah.
For a heinous crime?
I can't. Be anywhere near the cops. Fucking pigs.
You know when you were like, I was about to say, you know when you were like, you're 16, you're not going to be like, fuck off, you pigs.
Just came so naturally to me.
Yeah, that is so strange. That came out of your mouth so naturally.
I know. Because I have a real problem with authority.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vicky, the renegade.
See? It all comes back together.
You are.
Well,
maybe
the
that
idea
is...
of like 16-year-old Vicky at a house party with like a cigarette, like, let's smoke some bacon.
I like that image, but it's so far from
reality. This is the thing. Like, at house parties, what was your vibe, Vicky, as a teenager?
I don't know. It was sit around and chat.
Yeah.
Real cool. I remember it must have been maybe it was a 21st, but maybe it was an 18th. I'm not sure. And some, like, for a girlfriend of mine, and they had hired a male stripper for it. So maybe it was a 21st. 18 feels weird.
Yeah. That does feel weird.
Yeah. But it was definitely a
17-year-olds there for sure.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a, like, a milestone birthday.
Uh huh.
And they kicked all the dudes out to the backyard. So it was just the women that were allowed to stay in and watch the guy stripper.
What a weird time.
And so the guys were outside, like, playing cricket. And I went, I'm going to go out there. And I went outside and played cricket instead.
That is so weird, though. Like, everything about that is so weird. Like, the dudes are just like, okay, we'll go play some cricket.
It was odd. It was really strange. And I was super uncomfortable with the whole thing. So I just went and played cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, that's a really weird 21st present.
Right?
Like...
Well, yeah, because this particular friend of mine had, like, two very different groups of friends. One that was, like, the guys and a few girls that was my side. And then she had a couple
the
of...
stripper the stripper side.
Yeah, basically, yes, essentially. And they were the ones who obviously organized that.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, it was... But it was so weird. It was so bizarre. And I was just like, I'm not really into this. I'm going to go outside as well.
I think it's weird that they kicked the dudes out.
Yeah.
Maybe because it would have gotten too rare. Like, because I feel like guys would be more into the male stripper than...
Probably, yeah.
The girls, just because it's, like, funny and rowdy and, like, whatever else.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because, like, this would have been, what, 2004-ish, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, 2004, 2005, that sort of time.
Mm.
And, like, surely that dude performs for guys, I would imagine, as well as women.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe not, but surely, like, I would have thought so. But I don't know if it was him that asked that to happen or whether it was the girls who said guys can't be in here, or I don't know who...
It'd be super weird for the stripper to make.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to strip for you, but no dudes.
Yeah.
I'm not gay.
Yeah, that would be bizarre.
It does seem strange. Yeah. A different time.
Yeah. It was, yeah. I mean, I can imagine they were also parties where it would be like, the girls are going to sit in the lounge room while the guys are working on the barbecue.
Oh,
like, really, like, segregated.
I mean, that kind of happens just by default a lot of the times at the parties I go to now.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, I'm not thinking about comedian parties. I'm thinking about parties of, like, people I went to high school and stuff where they all have children.
Yeah.
And it's, even though, like, a lot of those friends are, you know, they're very much, like, not a women in the kitchen and dudes do, you know, that sort of, like, they're very...
Progressive
people.
Yeah.
It still ends up with the dudes hanging around the barbecue, cooking on the barbecue, and the women inside with the children.
I guess it's because dudes just make a better barbecue.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's true.
I've never cooked a barbecue my whole life.
Yeah.
Or seen a stripper.
It is, as I don't have the children to look after, it is an easy way for me to get away from the kids and go and talk to my guy friends.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm going to go look at the barbecue now.
Look at it.
Just watch it.
Stare at the barbecue now. I love a bit of barbecue staring.
Yep. I mean, yes, it is. That is how, like, a friend of mine it was his son's birthday and I hadn't been able to talk to him at all. And all of a sudden he was at the barbecue and I was like, now is my chance. He's not going to be moving from there for a little while. I'm going to go and talk to him.
Love that.
So yeah, if you want to have a D&M with a dude over a barbecue seems to be the way to do it.
I just tie him to a chair.
I mean, sure.
That is one way to do it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Black Widow of you.
That's me, baby. Sorry, I saw your catchphrase.
We've all got different approaches. It's all right.
Did you want to talk about some comedy, Emily Tresidder?
I would love to talk about some comedy.
Yeah, okay.
Ian McCarthy.
Yes.
Yeah,
what's up? Ian McCarthy.
What a pleasure to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You are so very welcome. I'd like to chat about two mats and a rat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay,
mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm ready.
Yes.
So it is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
and two Mats.
Local Melbourne comedians Matthew Vasquez and Matthew Hespy as well. All
two beautiful boys.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. All three of you are in like your first few years of comedy, right?
Yeah.
So what, how?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you want to do a split show with those guys? Did they just approach you? Did they come up with the name first?
I came up with the name.
Well, that's good.
After the three of us decided to do a split together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I originally just wanted to do like a two-way split with someone.
Yep.
But Vasquez and Hespy were like both keen and one or two of them didn't want to do like a 30-minute set. So they were like, let's do three.
Okay.
A three-way split, and I was like, well, that makes it cheaper to put on the show, so let's do it.
Smart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
More financially viable.
Yep.
Indeed.
The registration is not cheap.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
I'm coming up on 4 years in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
But you started in Canberra?
Yeah, I started out in Canberra in 2015.
Sure.
I like that you were like, make sure the math checks out.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Is it,
yeah? So when I was
55.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, it's a late start for, you know, someone. But
yeah. But, you know, I'd really lived life. So yeah, I felt like,
it's true.
You know,
you had a lot of ammunition.
Some perspective to give. Yeah. Mm,
totally.
Yeah,
cool.
Oh, well, it's better than starting well when you're like 19 or 20.
Yeah. That would be a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you think doing comedy in Canberra versus doing comedy in Melbourne is different?
Yeah, for sure.
How so?
Canberra audiences are different. Most of the time, they're just happy to be doing something.
Sure.
And also, because Canberra's a lot of like public servants and stuff, it's yeah. it's like a more sort of... Oh, maybe not, because Melbourne's pretty like culturally switched on. Mm. But Canberra is as well in kind of a different way.
Right.
And so you can get away... Well, not get away with a lot, like in terms of edgy stuff, but you can like... There's like an assumed sort of base level of knowledge, I feel like, with, yep. with Canberra audiences a lot of the time.
Right.
Also, it's just a much smaller scene. So I would do, if I was lucky, like one gig a week.
Right.
In Canberra. And because there's like less people doing it, there's a lot more room to like kind of move up the ladder quickly yep. and things like that.
It does tend to happen in smaller scenes, like Adelaide especially, where if you're any good, you'll be supporting a big name who's visiting very quickly.
Yeah.
Like within your first, you know, year or so, you could be supporting, like I know a friend of ours supported like Tom Gleason in his first year of comedy.
Wow.
Which yeah. is insane.
Yeah.
Wild.
But like, and that's only going to happen in those small towns. Small towns, you know, like Adelaide, and major capital cities of Australia.
Yeah.
But I mean, small comedy scenes.
Yeah.
How many open mics are there in Canberra?
There's a couple more now than there were when I was in Canberra. There were, I think, 3 open mics a month.
2 more than Adelaide.
A month.
Oh, a month. Right.
No, a month. Yeah, 3 a month.
God.
And then if you were lucky, you could pick up 1 or 2 book spots and then you do maybe on average like 1 gig a week.
Which is crazy. Because you gig a lot in Melbourne.
Yeah. In Canberra, if I was doing 1 gig a week, I was like, fuck, I am killing it.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah.
Whereas, and now you like yeah, to do...
How many gigs a week would you do in Melbourne?
Well, I've gone back to study at the moment, so I'm gigging a little bit less, probably about 4 or 5 a week at the moment. But before then, I was doing a lot more than that.
Yeah. Crazy.
How many gigs a week do you do, Emily?
Mate, 1...
Maybe.
If I want. 1 if I feel like it.
Yeah.
1 if I've got something I'm like...
I want to try this.
Let's spit out some gold.
Yeah. So but it's before, that thing. In the,
what's before you that? Were studying, how many gigs a week would you do?
So I set myself like a minimum of 7 a week.
Jesus. Minimum.
Christ. Yeah, minimum 7. But I would often go over that.
So
wow,
what's do you reckon there's like too much gigging? Do you reckon that's
yeah? I think that I had a month where I did like 40 gigs in a month, and at the end of that month, I was like. This was a bad idea.
Yeah, because
do this much.
Does it help to gig that much? Like, is it beneficial?
I mean, I think it's beneficial. Like, the stage time is always a good thing to have. But it just like if all you're doing every night is comedy,
mm-hmm.
it like takes a toll. You know,
do you have time to write?
This is what I was going to ask because I watch some of the dudes that do 3 or 4 gigs as often as like a night. Whenever they can. And I'm like, when do you write new gear and live life to be able to write new gear?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the balance that I was trying to figure out last year.
Mm.
Was like, where's the tipping point between like too much gigging and not enough gigging and like a work-life balance?
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
For listeners, I did air quotes over the work-life bit there. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. I think that was implied by your tone.
Okay.
Yeah, it did change slightly.
Yeah.
Sick.
Work-life balance?
Work-life But I think that's what a lot of, like, new comics kind of forget, that it is work. Like, and you should treat it like a job, I think.
Yeah, but also, like, it's also, it should be a bit of fun as well.
Of course.
You don't want it to feel too much like a job.
Sure.
Because I think...
Yeah, I think especially first couple of years that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you just need to have, like, respect it like a job, but you can treat it like social as well.
Yeah, but also I think too much of a good thing is never a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
Agreed.
So I think definitely treat it as if you want to take it seriously, take it seriously.
Yeah.
And obviously spend the time writing and spend the time gigging because that's the only way you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't want to put yourself in a position where you're doing it so much that you kind of resent it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Because you want to take it seriously, but you also don't want to like burn out and hate it in a year.
Yeah.
Not that I'm correct. Saying that you hate it now.
No. I'm saying like, but I have like I've had months where I've done like a lot of gigs, and at the end of that month, been like, "Fuck, I don't know where this month has gone."
Yeah.
All I've done is do like 3 gigs a night every night. And
yeah.
I'm exhausted, and I don't have anything to show for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because doing 3 gigs a night, say say like a Wednesday night in Melbourne, there's quite a lot of open mics that night.
Yeah.
And people try and do at least three, some try and do four. Does doing all three of them to, like, does that help in the same
way? I find now what I do is I don't gig every night of the week. I take mm-hmm. like a couple of nights to like do uni work or like hang out with mates or like live life or whatever. But the nights that I do gig, I try to do multiple gigs in the night.
Sure.
And I find that's helpful because you do your first spot and that's just kind of like getting into it and like trying your gear out and stuff. And then when you do like the second and third spot, you can figure out like what worked and what didn't and try to like fix the jokes or like make them better.
Yeah. Okay.
What about when it comes to festival and you don't get the warm up gig? And you have to just get up and do the.
I don't know. I mean, I guess festival for me, because I've never done a solo in festival, so I've never done more than like a 15-minute set. So I've always like known what my set is and already been comfortable with that set before I've had to do it.
Yeah, right. So you're ironing it out now, so yeah, that when you get to your 15 in festival, you know it's tight.
Yeah, 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 and I can settle into it. Cool. But also, I like most years, I do 5:30 show, and we usually have a couple beers before we have the show as well, so that makes it easier.
Fair enough, yeah. I guess those early lineup shows help if you're like for warming up for the rest of the night.
But you're not. Are you gigging for the rest of the night?
No, not in the past. This year I am, but yeah, not in the past. No.
Okay. Fair
okay,
enough.
Okay. Yeah. Vicky's there like, okay, interesting, good. We've got it all checked out. It all checks out. Yeah, I think it's super interesting how everyone works like slightly differently. Yeah. Like I've never ever been one to gig that much. I outside of festival, seldom do more than one gig a night. Yeah. Unless I've been booked for two gigs and I have to like run between them.
Yeah.
But like even when I was starting out, I never like... Yeah, even dreamt of doing
to me
that.
It just seems like an unadded stress to add to, like a situation.
Yeah, but I
feel like it's less stressful because if I only have one gig on a night, I'm like, this is it. I've got to make these jokes work now, or I'm not going to get another chance to do them until another tomorrow. Like day or two.
Yeah,
but do you know what I mean? Like, whereas if I'm doing two or three in a night, I can use the first one to just kind of like spit it out or like just get comfortable with material.
Yeah.
And then I can go straight to another one and be like, cool, I know what this is now. And like settle into it a bit more.
I think from my perspective, I guess I'm coming at it from a room runner's perspective. Mm. In that, like, if it was me going from room to room, I'd be so stressed that I didn't make it to a room on time or like things like that. Or
yeah. Whatever. Logistics.
Like, logistically. Yeah. Like, yeah, not the actual getting up on stage. It'd be the logistics of it that would stress me out.
Yeah.
But you just kind of learn your way around that. Like, this gig starts at this time, this one's at this time. I can get up early here, late here. Like, these ones are close to each other, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. What are your aspirations when it comes to comedy? Yeah. No, just in life. What are your life aspirations?
I want to go to the moon. No.
Ooh. Okay.
That's a lie. I think the moon would be a terrible place to go.
It'd be pretty boring, I reckon.
It'd be boring, yeah. Be nice to, like, jump around for a bit, I guess.
Just buy a trampoline.
Yeah, just got to bounce.
It's not quite the same, but okay.
Have you been to the moon? Do you know for sure that it's not the same as a trampoline?
No, that's true.
Aren't there actually places you can go that are, like, zero gravity?
They do, like, drops in planes where they can make that happen.
In planes?
Yeah, so, like, they'll get, like, a plane going super fast and then it does, like, a drop.
Yeah.
And then that's the zero gravity. That's how they, like, train astronauts.
Wow.
For zero
but I thought there was also like tubular or like...
the plane. The planes are a tube.
What? No, I thought there was like... okay.
You look at in the inside of a plane, no, yeah, does it not look like a tube?
I mean, vertically. Like you can go into a room.
Are you thinking of the parachute ones? Like the air jump ones?
Maybe, yeah. But I'm sure there's also one that's zero gravity.
How?
I don't know. Science. I don't, like, I mean...
I'm so confused right now.
Okay, no, your comedy aspirations, please.
I don't know. I just like to keep doing it. I mean, like, ideally, I'd like to get to a point where I can
make
support
money off
myself.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Like, that's the dream. And if I'm making money off of comedy in any way, enough to support myself, and I have to work at a call center or like whatever.
Yeah.
That's the dream, baby.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's good enough, I think.
That was like a full circle. That's kind of how you started
the
pod too.
Baby.
you weren't lying. That is your catchphrase. Baby is the catchphrase.
Baby. Catchphrase.
Yeah, cool. And so the show is you and two Matts. And where are you on at?
We were at Tasma Terrace.
5:30.
No, 5:30 show.
So
is
I'm
at 5:30.
Also doing 5:30 show, which is at 5:30.
That right,
is
so you actually are doing
the Canberra kids
every night.
Do a lineup show.
Yep.
Yeah, so do 5:30 show every night, which is also a great show. Come along to that. But more importantly, go to Two Mats and a Rat at Tasma Terrace, 22nd of March to the 6th of April.
22nd of March,
27th. Yeah, sorry, 26th. I don't know, because we're at Tasma, so we start... maybe 26th of March.
26th
we start
March.
Like 2 days before the festival kind of properly starts.
Yep.
Right.
Whatever date that is.
And what time is that show?
7:30.
Cool.
PM.
Perfect time.
Yeah. You can see both, really.
It's a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the time my show's on. But there's plenty of days during the festival, so you can go to both.
Yeah, you don't have to just go to one 7:30 show and then you can never go to another.
I kind of feel like if you've seen one, you've seen the other. Very similar.
Yeah, I feel like your show and their show, the same.
Yeah, it's wild how often
I
get
I do not advocate anything that's being said right now. Literally none of it.
Three men equals one Emily Tresidder.
I mean, it depends how you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it that time of the show, Vicky Hanlon? Yeah, all right, is. Ian McCarthy, the rat of two Matts and a rat.
Yeah. Oh, what's happening?
At the end of every podcast, we have a section called Hypothetically Yes, where I, Emily Tresidder, ask you a hypothetical question based on our chats today.
And I have to say yes.
This is why the name doesn't work anymore, because she just gives you a would you rather.
Right. Okay.
But
I guess you could answer. You answer yes to one of those.
Exactly.
I guess. Hypothetically,
there's one hypothetical yes and one hypothetical no. But I'm not going to call it hypothetically yes and also hypothetically no.
Okay.
That doesn't have the same ring to it.
That's catchier. Okay. Have you tried it?
Ian McCarthy. This segment of the show is called Hypothetically Yes and Hypothetically No. So.
Oh, that's a bit of a wordy title. Dude. I'll workshop that.
Based on our chats today, I have a hypothetical question for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather...
Told you.
Every house party you host, you let the cops in and they shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that. Mm-hmm. So like every house party, as soon as the cops come, you're the one that opens the door and you're like, come on in. And the party shut down.
Yep.
Or you can only gig twice a month.
Oh.
Am I allowed to ask follow-up questions?
Yeah, of course.
But I can call the cops at any time in the party. So I can just I can just be like, it's 2 a.m. I'm ready to go to bed.
No.
You don't get to choose
when
they come.
Exactly. They could come at 11:30.
Or
they could come at 8. They could come at any time. So it's not just you call the cops. Anytime the cops come to the house, you have to be like, it's me, Ian McCarthy. Let me just let you into my house.
Yeah. That's tough. I do like gigging, but I'm not a fucking narc.
Well, I mean, a 16-year-old who has something different to say.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but I'd never do that now. Yeah, if the cops knock on my door at a house party now, I spit in their face. That's not true. My brother-in-law's a cop. He's a very nice man.
I'm very sorry, Dave.
Yeah. Actually, my friend that I was talking about before, the one that had the stripper come to the party,
now a cop. Love that.
Yep.
Love that.
Oh,
love
I have
that.
To answer the question. Oh, I'd probably let the cops in.
He loves comedy. He loves gigging.
You'd really let the cops in.
Yeah, I'd just stop throwing house parties, probably. I'd just be like,
that's the thing. Yeah. That would be the way out of it.
Or I would just like explain to people before they came to the party. I was like, this is just kind of like a fun tradition.
It's just a thing that we do.
I do stand-up comedy.
It's a bit.
It was an ultimatum.
Okay. It was, you know, I was on a podcast and they are legally binding.
Yeah.
So it's just the way it works.
Yeah. I mean, the party would usually, they wouldn't get called for a little while. You'd still get a bit of party. You could do day parties, I guess.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
They still
you could start at like 2 p.m. or whatever, and then by the time the cops come at 10:30, you're like, fine.
But they're not always going to come from noise complaints, though. Like, they could come because someone, like, you know, was like, I smelled weed or something like that. So they could come at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, true. Then you'd be, then 1 hour party.
Yeah.
Ian, oh, 1 hour party McCarthy.
Oh, now that there's like weed on the table, I don't want to be that guy. Who's like, yes, please come arrest all my friends. They're smoking pot.
Yep.
No,
well,
arresting.
Hey, you've already chosen it, so sorry.
Yeah, that's true. All your friends are going to get arrested now.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you don't break the law, you've got nothing to hide.
Jesus. All right.
Sounds like something a knock would say.
I switched it up really quickly there.
Yeah, you did. All right. We have one final question. Same mm-hmm. question that we ask of all the guests.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Spider-Man?
I don't really have any.
Cool. That's fine.
That's fine.
I've never really watched Spider-Man. Oh, I watched the Tobey Maguire ones when I was a kid, but it's...
That's about it?
That's about it, yeah.
Okay.
Big cool. into it.
Love it.
Now, oh, actually.
Always.
No, this
always.
Is interesting.
Okay.
I just remembered this. I had my early bloomer, first girlfriend when I was 7.
What?
No, but this is the wild thing. She was already like way more switched on than I was.
Was she
like,
7 as well?
Romantically, she was 8.
Oh,
don't worry about it,
classic.
Dude.
Classic.
Yeah. And the first time we kissed, she wanted to like reenact the Spider-Man like upside down scene.
But a 7-year-old kiss is just like a peck, right?
You would think so.
No, Ian.
That's what I thought.
No, Ian. So you're like making out at 7.
Not in. I didn't enjoy it. I was like, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I guess if she saw that and she wanted to recreate it, then she'd try. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't think that she understood.
Of course not.
Like, she wanted to make out because she'd seen people do it, but I don't think she really understood, like, what.
It was.
What it was.
Wow. That's... Did you date... Was she your girlfriend for a long time?
Like a couple of weeks, maybe? That's a long
she
time.
She was... 7. Yeah, well, I kind of like met her like camping.
Horse camp.
And she lived like 2 states away. So I was literally that kid in like 3rd grade that was like, oh, I have a girlfriend. She just lives in Pennsylvania. You wouldn't
know
her.
Yeah.
Aww.
So you didn't have very, very much opportunity to kiss her then?
Nah, so when we did, boy, did we go at it.
Right. So you had a long distance girlfriend at 7 and made out like Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
at a playground?
Yeah, it must have been.
Like, was she on the monkey bars?
Well, you would have been on the monkey bars. You were upside down.
You were Spider-Man.
Or was she Spider-Man?
Maybe she was Spider-Man. Wow.
Love that.
We were very progressive.
Yeah, that's great.
Very progressive. I like that. Yeah. That's so interesting. I didn't have my first kiss until I was like 15 or 16.
I didn't like after that. I didn't kiss again until I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, right.
25.
All right. Cool. Well, that's a gross story.
When did you have your first kiss, Vicky?
14, 15, maybe.
Yeah.
14 or 15, like that kind of age.
I was just about to say. I think it was. During a Spider-Man film, but
what?
It was during a Transformers film.
They are not the same.
It was action-y.
Mine was in a pool.
Oh, okay. What a great way to end the podcast. Tell us your first kiss stories at Vic and Em's Comedy Jams on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Now, Ian McCarthy, you've been a splendid guest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to know if any listeners know when Ian swapped over.
Yeah, I would, because he did change.
Yeah, I did, and I did in fact swap over.
This is very true. He did in fact swap over. Maybe if you have a guess when it happened, give us a comment on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter.
Yep.
Tell us about your first kiss and that would be great. Ian has 2 shows at Comedy Festival, 5:30 PM showcase show, 7:30 at Tasma Terrace.
Yeah.
2 Mats and a Rat.
Correct.
2 Mats and a Rat, baby.
And you can obviously see Ian all around Melbourne gigging before that.
Yeah. And you're on Instagram and Twitter and all that?
Yeah. I'm on them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm there.
You've got Google. I'll put it in the show notes. It's fine.
The McCarthy Ian. My tag most
great.
Places.
Great.
Love
well,
that.
Well, because it used to be the worst Ian. Let's not get into that story.
That is a whole other thing.
And then I changed it to the McCarthy Ian. Anyway, this is the end of the podcast.
You can also see You can also see Vic and Emma's Comedy Jams live during festival every Sunday of the festival. You can see my show just doing it at Trades Hall at 7:30 p.m. every day, except Wednesdays and one Saturday that we won't talk about. Bye, guys.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.